Hey all you pet stylists, you found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and star of the show from Tucson, Arizona, and groomblog.blogspot.com, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hello, groomers! Hi, Susie, what's up?
Arigato, groomers! Welcome to episode 219 of the Groom Pod, recorded on August 11th, 2019 in Snohomish, Washington and Tucson, Arizona. This podcast is brought to you by listener support through Amazon and Patreon and through our kind sponsors, Best Shot, Show Season, and Evolution Shears. This week on the Groom Pod, we're talking to Michelle Evans. We're going to have an Ask Barbara question, and we're going to talk a little about choosing a dryer for your business. So, Barbara, I have had an interesting week.
What went on?
I got to meet Billy the Kid. Billy the Kid, the Havanese that I said I was going to groom last week. I went out and groomed Billy the Kid, and I found out why he's Billy the Kid, the little outlaw.
Yeah, is he a naughty boy?
I have to laugh because this is actually a reflection on something you guys haven't heard yet. The dog had really long ears and a really long tail. I mean, just, you know, one the old style, just massively long ears and a long tail. And he has the color of hair that a gray Yorkie has, like the gray silvery Yorkie hair. It's kind of to darky gray and lighty gray. And then he's got some white patches. He's a really cute Havanese, compact model. He's little, really short, and definitely has some attitude. But the worst part of Billy the Kid, which the lady was very open about and let me know in advance, he's really, really, really loud. Like the whole time, he is loud. But for me, I've got my headphones on, but I always forget. I'm in a neighborhood in a trailer that has doors open on it. I think people thought I was killing the dog. Some lady walked by with her cat and she said, "Why is that dog screaming?" And I said, "Well, I don't think he particularly enjoys his grooming, although I really think he's just a very vocal dog." Man, he was loud. And I'm hoping that the neighbor will get over it because he's delightful. He has such character. I mean, a lot of character built into this tiny silver Havanese.
Oh, man. All right, Billy the Kid.
Billy the Kid. I'm happy to have him, but I'm not quite sure what to do about the yelling, because it was probably disturbing to most of the neighbors.
As I'm editing this, I realize exactly what I can do. I will run my generator instead of plugging into the house, and they will not even hear the dog.
Try a little aromatherapy.
Oh, yeah. Definitely good idea. I think I will. I think I'll bring out, I did the lavender shampoo from Best Shot. That was pretty good.
Good.
Yep. So that happened. And then I've got a question for you. I get a lot of gifts from people, just random gifts from my grooming clients. What do you do with gifts that you can't possibly use? I got candles and super duper dark chocolate. It turns out I don't like super duper dark chocolate, and they keep bringing me super duper dark chocolate. I don't know how to talk to them about it. I don't want to be insulting. I love most of their gifts. What do I do? Give it away?
Yeah, give it away.
Okay.
I'm lucky because I've got an assistant. I can just like hand it off.
This stuff is expensive. They've spent expensive money to get fancy Trader Joe dark chocolate with chips of cherry in it. And they got me two candles, and I don't burn candles. I'm afraid of fires, so I don't burn candles. But they smell delightful. I keep opening them and smelling them, but I've got to rehome the candles.
It might be that next year you could say something.
Yeah, well,
why don't you get a firm relationship going?
On top of it, they pay. It's a Jack Russell-sized dog, and Jack Russell's type hair, but it's blonde. So it's a mix of some sort, but there's Russell in there somewhere. It's really easy to groom. I just buzz it off most of the, you know, I leave a little bit of hair and some personality, little mohawk-y crazy personality up top. They give me $125. I asked
Jesus
for $85. Fuck. They give me $125 and a basket gift size garbage sack size gift bag filled with chocolates and goodies and candies and sometimes a stuffed animal. And I love these people. This is the Donna Walker doppelganger lady. And I don't, I like the gifts. They're lovely and 90% of them are great, but this is twice now I've gotten candles and I feel guilty because I think they're fancy soy based candles and I bet they were expensive.
Well, we gift them at Christmas time to somebody that you know likes candles.
That's a good idea. Yeah, re-gifting, rehoming. I have to rehome my gifts.
Yeah.
So, Barbara, we have an exciting first appointment today.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's going to be Michelle Evans. So let's take a quick break and get right to it, all right?
All right, let's go.
We've all been there. Your appointment shows up and it's a matted mess. The products you choose can make a huge difference in the end result. The Ultramax line by Best Shot is the perfect solution. It was engineered for serious professionals to get dirty jobs done right. The Ultramax system starts with the shampoos. Ultramax Pro is a dilute as needed shampoo. Use it directly on the coat for degreasing, 15-to-1 for deep cleaning, 50-to-1 for light cleaning, or anything in between. It's perfect for recirculating bathing systems. And there's also Ultramax Clarifying Shampoo. Ultramax Pro Conditioner is so light but so powerful. It has Best Shot's special coat-releasing technology for superior de-shedding and de-matting. It never adds drying time and works great in recirculators. And a body splash. The whole Ultramax line features a modern sweet pea fragrance. This isn't your grandma's perfume. It's delightful. Whether it's Ultramax, One Shot, Ultra Wash, or any of the Best Shot lineup, you can expect the finest quality and true performance. They'll help you make masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. Find Best Shot products at quality distributors and online at bestshotpet.com.
Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment.
Okay, you guys, it's time for our first appointment, and I'm a little giddy, I must admit, because I'm a big fangirl of this person. You probably know her best from her teaching engagements all over the world, or perhaps her four covers on Groomer to Groomer magazine. She's competed both in the dog show ring and in the grooming ring, and she's handled many different types of dogs. She's won tons of awards and accolades, including silver and gold medals for Groom Team, Grooming Judge of the Year, and contribution to the industry. She has also received Show Dog Groomer of the Year at Westminster Kennel Club in 2014, which I think is...
Oh, so amazing. I didn't know about that. That's a great honor.
On a personal note, she is one of my favorite people to learn from, and I love to watch her groom. She was even one of Barbara's certifiers. Currently, she is a busy, successful grooming salon just outside of Portland, Oregon, where she's available for private grooming tutoring. Welcome to the show, Michelle Evans.
Hi, thank you for having me.
What is up in your world, Michelle?
Well, I have some shows scheduled for 2020. And some new and exciting things that I haven't done before in 2020 as far as a seminar and trade show area. And then I have some videos that I've been working on to come out. They should be out around the beginning of September. Some educational videos covering the Grooming Tutor 12-Step Method. And I'm really excited about that. And that's been a long process and a lot of learning and trial and error to get those ready for the market.
Are you filming those yourself?
Yeah, well, I have a filming crew and then an editing crew and a social media crew. No, it's definitely a group effort. There's none of this that I'm doing by myself.
Wow, that is really impressive. What's the content?
Well, the very first video that'll come out is a poodle in a modern trim using the Grooming Tutor 12-Step Method.
What? And then... What?
I want that one already. Put me down for one.
The Grooming Tutor 12-Step Method?
Yes.
It's catchy.
Yeah, thank you.
12 steps, is that related at all to the other 12 steps that we know so well?
Yes, you can definitely use the 12 steps to rehabilitate your style.
Great. How many videos are you doing?
Well, I've filmed 11 breeds so far, and a lot of them are going to be broken down into segmented videos of different potty parts and things like that. But initially, it's just going to be the poodle that comes out in September, the labradoodle not far behind, and then I've got 9 more breeds that I'll be editing.
Great. Great news. How would you distinguish your videos from those teaching videos that are already out there? Is it the 12-step grooming protocol at the core of everything?
That is correct, yes. Everything for these initial videos is definitely going to be based on the Grooming Tutor 12-step method. So it is a step-by-step grooming procedures that allows you to do speed grooming with style, essentially. So yeah, it's a speed grooming with style method where you can work through the dog with a step-by-step method so that it takes the guesswork out of it, and it allows you to be able to like really work through the dog efficiently. Because a lot of times when groomers get hung up and start questioning what they're to do with a certain body part, it slows them down. So with this, it really keeps the flow of the grooming going so that you can actually create styles with speed and efficiency.
And be systematic. It's a way to make yourself be systematic, which is just a crucial element of speed and actually good results, is being systematic.
I agree.
I confess that I am sometimes less systematic than I ought to be. Yeah, I'm excited about this. I want to see 12 steps. I'm all for it.
Is this going to help?
I just want to say to our audience that, many years ago, Michelle was my IPG certifier, and I learned more in the 2 days of having her just be my certifier. I just learned more than any other single event in my life. So I thoroughly endorse her as an educator, as a teacher of grooming, because I took a whole leap forward after that weekend.
That's wonderful. I'm glad I could be helpful.
So will this have some content in it that will actually help the experienced but not necessarily great groomer put a little more style into, say, her personal styling?
So everybody kind of has signature styles that they like to do, but the Grooming Tutor 12-step method allows you to use the 12 steps and still keep your signature style. You also can just take some of the steps and apply them to a dog. So a lot of times on our shop grooming, we don't have time to completely style a dog and go through all 12 steps, but you could pick, say, 3 of the steps that would enhance that dog's appearance and improve that dog's appearance so that you can just apply, say, 3 of them. The other thing that makes it really great is that it creates consistency among your groomers. So if you've got a shop full of groomers and you've got good notes about what blade or what technique was used on each step, then you get a consistent groom no matter who grooms the dog. So that can be really helpful. And then I usually tell people when they're starting to maybe just try 3 of the steps, try to put 3 steps on each dog. And so essentially 3 enhancements or 3 areas that the dog might need enhancement. And that can really help too. Also, when you're trying to implement some sort of a new system or step-by-step program like the Grooming Tutor 12-step method, if you just pick like 1 dog a day to apply it to, instead of trying to do it all at once to all the dogs you groom, just pick 1 a day where you think the owner's a good tipper, or you think they would really appreciate having a little bit more style on their dog. So you can just try it on like 1 a day and see if you can apply some of the steps to some of your dogs. And it really does make an improvement.
I do that sometimes. I work on the 1 a day basis. I pick 1 dog where I'm committing to doing my very best. And the rest of them, I do good enough, but I pick 1 where I know the people are going to know the difference. And I apply all I got to that 1 dog. The other dogs get well groomed, but I don't agonize over it quite so much. So it's kind of like that.
Yeah, I like to say these dogs pay the bills and this one I have fun on.
I like that. That's good way to think
of it. So Michelle, is a step something like setting the rear angulation? Is that like
yes.
A step? Yeah. Okay. So these are like different procedural steps.
The 12 steps are based on 12 universal aspects of dog structure.
Oh, cool.
That the whole point of it is that all 12 steps apply to every single dog you groom, either the entire step or part of a step. Different patterns on different breeds can make it be a partial step or a partial pattern, but the pattern still exists. So every single step addresses an area that it has to be addressed in every single groom on every single dog. Oftentimes when you're looking at a dog, say at a dog show or a grooming competition or one of your own dogs in the mirror at your grooming salon, and you're asking yourself, well, there's something wrong with this and I can't quite figure out what is not quite right with this haircut. A lot of times it's because, well, pretty much always, it's because one of the 12 steps or universal aspects isn't executed properly or isn't executed at all.
You wonder why the dog looks like it's falling over forward. Well, because I totally missed that whole front end.
Right. Step 6 and 7 aren't correctly executed.
These are you grooming, right? So I can fangirl out on your grooming while I'm learning at the same time.
Yeah. It's really fun. My editor did some nice little animation, some bullet points, some great music. It's kind of hard to make educational grooming video exciting and entertaining because it's so technically thick and there's a lot of instruction, but I tried to make it a little fun. And then when I get everything all edited, I'm also going to do compilations where there'll be a study of step one, a study of step two, and I'll show it on several different coat types, breeds, several different top line variety, just a lot of variety of different types of dogs.
Are you going to take it on tour?
I might. I want to see how it's received. Right. I'm very humble. I'm not sure. I really have no expectations whatsoever of how the videos are going to be received and how the 12-step method is going to be received. So I just am trying to get my first one out there and kind of see how it goes and if it takes off and people are receptive to it and if people feel like it has value. I know when I teach seminars, I often teach a seminar called Speed Grooming with Style, which is essentially these 12 steps. And it never fails that I get rushed at the stage at the end of the demonstration. They want to know, where can I see this? How do I find this? Where is it? I want to know more. And,
right.
And I finally have a way to get that to them. So we'll see how it goes. And if it's well received, I will certainly expand on it and work with it. I have lots of ideas for, beyond the 12 steps, because there's so much more than the basics. And then you get into really technical grooming and a lot of really high level grooming. So I'd like to do some stuff with that too. There's so much I can do. I've got this footage now. I've got hours and hours and hours of footage that I can literally mute and just commentate.
Right.
And God, completely so teach a whole nother lesson.
I so acknowledge you for doing this. Thank you. And I want to encourage our listeners, our podsters, to partake in styling education. In other words, efforts to improve your own grooming and styling, because that kind of studying and that kind of action is going to keep you from burning out.
I'm going to be set up so that you can either pay for a subscription or you can buy individual videos. So initially, a subscription may not be, ideal since there's not very many videos, but the subscription is $100 for 3 months and it automatically renews. The subscription's $100 for 3 months, or you can buy the video for $70. So as new content comes out, the subscription makes way more sense.
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
And it is all streaming. There's no downloads and no actual video. It's all streaming.
Boy, that makes a lot of sense, Michelle. Barbara and I have a couple questions. First, I'd like to say, I really like it when you do commentary on the grooming ring. I think that enhances the whole competition ring experience to have someone doing color commentary that knows what's going on like you do. And I really appreciate when they let you do that. Number two, I have a question about a Portuguese water dog that has recently shown up in my client base. I generally wouldn't take one, but I like them. I like their personalities. I think they're great dogs, and we have a lot of them here because of the boating community. A lot of boaters have those dogs. So one of my boating families got a Portuguese water dog. So I do a modified clip on the dog, of course, because it's Susie Utilitarian Grooming. So I do like an inch all over on the body, but then I do the short lion tail because they don't brush and it's constantly tangled and I just gave up on that. And then I do a shaved face and a tighter head. What do I use on the face? What blade? And I'm doing it without the clipper back when I do the face.
Well, if you're doing an inch on the body and you said you are doing a lion trim, a lion tail?
I'm doing a lion tail, shaved face, but a one length all over body.
And you said it's a 1 inch on the body?
Yeah, about.
Okay. So I would do a 4F on the face.
Okay.
And you know that you only shave to the eye on them. You don't shave the whole cheek. You only shave the muzzle itself and not the whole cheek.
Perfect. That was my second question.
That's a good tip.
Yes. And I'm doing the dog every 3 weeks and I'm kind of doing a bath, and then a groom. Bath, bath, groom, bath, bath, groom. And it seems to be keeping the dog tangle free because that's the point. This is a dude's dog and he doesn't want to brush the dog. I don't know why people get dogs with hair and then don't want to brush them. But as usual, he does not want to brush them. But he's happy to pay me to do it every 3 weeks. So it's working out good. But I was really puzzled when I got to the face. I realized it had been so long since I had done one. And with you here, I just thought I'd take the fine opportunity to talk to you about it. Any other tips you can give me on them, like to get the look on the head without having a big head?
Well, I have a 3-step method for porty heads.
Oh, I'm so surprised.
And it is going to be in the Portuguese water dog videos. I'll have two videos. I'll have the lion trim and the retriever trim, and the head will be in there. But, it's an interesting cut on the head on that breed because, you know, you've got two different coat types. You have your curly and your wavy. And then some would argue that there's also a whirly, which is something between a curly and a wavy. So the way the coat lays makes a difference. Typically on the lion trim, you shave the face pretty short. And then on the retriever trim, there's a little bit more hair left on the muzzle. And then, you know, you blend, you don't take the hair on the cheek from the corner of the eye to the ear. You kind of leave that a little bit longer to blend into the front of the ear. But it's critical that you show the shape of the ear when you look directly at their face. So when you look right into their eyes, when they perk their ears, you want to be able to see the entire outline of the back edge of that ear and even a little bit of that front at the lower tip. So the way I describe it is kind of silly. I have a silly description for how that's supposed to look. If you kind of can imagine a freaked out baby elephant, right? So when you're like standing in the Sahara Desert and you spook a baby elephant, the way it puts its ears out to the side, and you can see the whole back edge of that ear shape. You want to come off your top knot into that shape. You want to see that whole shape of that ear with a softness along the front, though. There shouldn't be a harshness along the front edge of the ear next to the eye. And then you can kind of picture that the muzzle would be trunk-like, right? It would be a separate, the muzzle's like a separate entity from the rest of the headpiece. So it kind of has a trunk-like look. So when I'm joking around with people about what a Portuguese water dog head should look like, I'm like, just think about a pissed off baby elephant. You kind of got that look going on.
Man, that's going to help me so much. I'm going there on Monday. What is that tomorrow? I'm going there tomorrow.
That's good tips. And that helps to distinguish the difference between the Portuguese water dog head and the Bichon head, where we scissor the ears into the head. And you don't see the outline of the ears in the head. That's good distinction. Thank you.
You're welcome. It's kind of silly, but it works. It's kind of a silly explanation, but people can visualize it. They can understand that you want to see the ear.
One of the things that's happened to my grooming lately is that I've stopped doing the Bichon profile head on most of my pet Bichons, which they want shorter anyway. But I'm doing a really cute Asian type of Bichon head with bobbed ears. So you're still taking the ears up to the leather, but just like straight across, and it makes them these puffy bobs. And then you sort of do a crown, almost poodle-ish, but you don't define the ears quite that much. But it's really a cute little, young, youthful, fun little look. And so I have to confess that I've strayed from the breed profile. I kind of got tired of it. Do you do any work that's off the profile, so to speak?
So I have a presentation that I do, and I'll probably do a video on it, called 9 Aspects of the Asian Freestyle Head. There's 9 very distinct similarities when you're looking at them over and over and over again. There's 9 aspects to that headpiece that make it distinctly Asian freestyle. Any of those can apply to anything. I mean, once we get away from the breed standard as far as how we groom a dog, the sky is the limit. I mean, like for all of the Shih Tzus and Lhasas and, you know, for example, Yorkies that are supposed to be in long hair, once you go away from a floor-length parted coat, it's really a custom groom at this point. Whatever the owner wants, whatever you like, whatever fits the dog's lifestyle. I mean, we're doing a lot of custom grooming. So knowing the 9 aspects of the Asian Freestyle Head is helpful for like just sort of using bits and pieces of that. I also think that for the most part, once you get away from breed profile grooming, we also tend to take the bangs shorter. And, you know, there's just some similarities there. But yes, in my salon, we do all kinds of custom grooming, all kinds of fun stuff, lots of Asian freestyle grooming, lots of, you know, variations on teddy bear heads. We do a lot of shaved ears, by shaved, maybe like a number 4 to kind of show the ear. We have very few customers with long ears anymore, but we do. We have some who just insist. I have one standard poodle that I do that the ears are so ridiculously long, she will never let me cut them. You know, there's a point when, you know, once you go away from the breed standard, you're now into, you know, custom grooming. And I think the sky is the limit.
That's my kind of grooming.
Yeah, yeah. In my cloud-based data system of, you know, my files of my dogs and my grooming, where I make appointments and everything, that I used to have full groom, breed profile, bath and nails, da da da. Well, I created a category that is custom styling that I find that I use a lot more than when I used to say full groom. I'm glad to hear that. I love bringing the creative elements into the everyday work, as well as being able to knock out that perfect Scotty.
When I was a very young groomer, still working in my mother's grooming salon, I had a little dog that I groomed. The little dog's name was Gwen, but the last name of the owner was Klingenberg. And this woman had a custom groom on her dog. It was a little Lhasa Apso that had a Westie groom, but then it had its feet shaved high waters on the front and all the way up to the hock on the back. So poodle feet with feet shaved up in there. And then a skirt around it, a blended skirt, but a skirt nonetheless. And then a teddy bear face with 3-inch long lashes, long ears. She wanted bows. She had like a Portuguese water dog tail with a flag on it. And so this woman was all over town. This was in Lawrence, Kansas. She was all over town with this dog. And suddenly we started getting phone calls of people who were like, we want our dog groomed like that dog. So we actually had a style in my mom's salon called the Klingenberg.
Great.
It's shrubbery. Great. That's what I... A shaved feet and a long skirt is shrubbery. It's a walking topiary.
It is. It was the most ridiculous looking, caricature looking. It looked like a cartoon. It was the most cartoonish looking thing you've ever seen. People liked it and wanted it, and they liked the practicality of it, I guess. I can't be sure what people liked about it.
Some people like to be silly with their pets. They like the cartoon character look. Some pet owners don't even really want perfect scissoring. They like it a little rough because they see their dog kind of in the rough as a kind of a caricature. It's interesting.
Anything you want to add in here, Michelle, before we let you go to your game?
The Grooming Tutor 12-step method is good for any skill level. You can be beginner, and it will give you sort of a guide to how to start moving from shave offs into where you might want to leave some more coat to create a style. And it's also good for advanced groomers because it really helps you figure out where you might be missing an area or struggling with an area. And it just helps you move through a style much more quickly.
The thing that excites me so much about this way of teaching is, although I love going to a trade show and putting my hands on equipment and seeing everybody's programs and everything, this gives a way for people who don't have the ability to travel to get some really good quality education at their place of work or at home or whatever, and to have it be a subscription where you're going to get new content all the time. That is invaluable. I mean, what a great service to offer, Michelle. Thank you so much for doing this.
You're welcome. There's a link on my website, and this is all coming out September 1st. Well, it'll come out after the holiday weekend, which I think is technically September 3rd. There's a page on there that has all of my groomer to groomer articles that I've written ever. So you can go through there and see everything that I've written about all different topics. And that's a Ask the Grooming Tutor column where I give advice. People ask questions and I give advice. So that's going to be on there, which is also really valuable. That's where most of my written content is going to be at this point, is just a compilation of everything I've written for that. And then there is going to be eventually also included in the subscription, like PowerPoint presentations and things based on business planning, managing employees, all of those kinds of things as well. It's going to be basically everything that I teach, but it'll be on my website in the form of videos and written information.
Well, you go, girl.
Any way that we can be part of your fun, you let us know, because we've got your back, Michelle.
Oh, thank you. Absolutely. And I love supporting you guys as well.
So you can find all Michelle's information at thegroomingtutor.com. No, at groomingtutor.com, right?
Yes.
Know the.
Correct. Know the. As a matter of fact, thegroomingtutor.com belongs to a lady who teaches grooming lessons in Toronto, Canada.
And
she just does like local grooming instruction stuff in Canada. And I called and talked to her when it was brought to my attention that, I mean, like 15 people in the industry were like, did you know about this lady? So I called her and talked to her and I was like, you know, this is something that I've had. I mean, everybody in the industry knows me as the grooming tutor from like for decades now, you know, and she's like, well, I'm not changing it.
Wow.
And you can't make me. And I was like, okay. So, I mean, people are very quickly going to realize when they get to her site that it's not where they want to be if they end up there. But nonetheless, it is just groomingtutor.com, not thegroomingtutor.com.
Okay, Michelle, thank you for being here and have a great afternoon. Well, we'll let you go off and have some fun. Anything else you want to let her know, Barbara?
No. I'm excited. Thank you.
Did you have a question about tuck-ups?
Yeah, my particular area of concern is in the tuck-up area, or the area where the front of the back leg meets the underline. And I know that it's not good to lose that connection, but what do you call that? And is that spot one of your steps, I hope?
It is. It comes in the scissoring part. It comes in the second half of the video that's called Scissoring the 12 Steps Together. It's an area where you scissor two steps together. It is a matter of taming the mysterious tuck-up fro.
Good. Great.
So yeah, it is covered in the videos.
Fantastic. All right. So what are you going to do this afternoon? You're going to the
Thorns game. Yeah. The Thorns, the professional women's soccer team here in Portland. We're heading over there. We're season ticket holders. So today's one of the games and we're going to go.
I have become a soccer fan through the United States women's soccer team. Love those women. And
we have four of them.
Actually. Oh man, I actually am starting to learn a little about soccer. It's hard to learn.
The Portland Thorns that we have season tickets to, four of the players for the national team are for the U.S. national team are on ours. And we also have two Australian team national team members, one Brazilian national team member, and one Canadian national team member. So our team is really comprised of, well, we're number one in the nation. So our team is really comprised of a lot of really super talented soccer players.
The Northwest has certainly become soccer central, both down there and up here. It's very popular in Seattle, too. Well, we've lost Barbara.
Okay. Well, have a great day.
Thank you so much. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much for having me.
Bye.
Bye.
Our hands are moneymakers. We rely on them. How long we last in this career is dependent on how well we care for our hands. Evolution shears were engineered to be the most ergonomic shears out there. They were designed by a team of groomers, sharpeners, and medical professionals with comfort in mind. They started with the observation that all hands were not created equal. In fact, they are all unique and have different needs. Evolution shears are fully customizable with adjustable sizing and your choice of fixed ring, single, or double swivels. I recommend the double swivels. They're my personal favorites. Evolution shears work with your thumb in its natural position, making scissoring in all directions a pleasure. They are made to prevent repetitive stress injuries that occur due to scissoring and keep you from grooming. Lastly, they use high-quality materials but are affordable. They come in curves, straights, thinners, and chunkers, and in a variety of lengths and edges. A good thing for those of us with scissor addictions. There is a learning curve, but don't worry. The staff at Evolution will hold your hand through the whole process. Their customer service is tip-top. You can put your hands on a pair of Evolution shears and say hi to Abby, Ron, and our favorite salesperson, Chris Anthony, at many of the grooming shows. But if you're in a hurry, and you should be, go online to evolutionshears.com or call them at 877-560-3057 and buy yourself a pair or two. Be sure to ask for Chris because she'll take great care of you. But wait, if you act now... Okay, you don't have to act right now, but mention the Groom Pod when you place your order or put Groom Pod in the coupon code on the Evolution website and you will receive $10 off each pair of shears. How cool is that?
Groomers, take your seats. School is about to begin.
Definition du jour time, but this time it's not a definition du jour, but it's an Ask Barbara. Barbara, where'd you get this question?
Somebody tagged me from the Groomers. God, what is that? It's not GED. GEM, yeah. Yeah, which is grooming equipment maintenance. Somebody posted a question to the group of, do I need to wet the dog down before I apply shampoo? And then another person came in and said, you shouldn't ever wet the dog down because the water forms a barrier that the shampoo can't pass.
Oh, that's fun.
So and then they got insulted when someone referred them to my book. You know, I don't need to read a book to answer the, you know, so she wanted anybody else to disprove her. So let me say this. If you're going to come up with an assertion that defies scientific facts, you need to prove it, not me. So the truth is that the surfactant needs water. The surfactant acts and behaves and does the cleaning job in the presence of water. So you either got to way dilute your shampoo so you're applying water and shampoo together, or you need to use a recirculating system that adds the water, but it's really not a good idea to just apply concentrated shampoo to a dry coat. unless it's specified by the manufacturer.
How about the diluted shampoo in a bottle?
Okay, you can, but I gotta say, the surfactants in the shampoo love water. And water is not just, it's a carrier, but it's also what encourages the surfactants to pull the oil and dirt away from the skin because they're attracted to the water. Okay, so you need water there.
Yeah, you know. Yes, gotta have.
So it's not a sin to apply diluted shampoo to a dry coat, but you're wasting product.
Right. What about the recirculating systems? Because we don't wet the dog down first for that.
No, because you're rinsing and cleaning at the same time, and the recirculator washes the dog over and over and over again. So when you take concentrate shampoo and you work it on the dog and then you rinse off, a large percent of the surfactant molecules go down the drain without being attached to any dirt or sin. It's a waste.
Which is why we dilute the shampoo, because we know better.
It's actually going to work better, because if it's too constant, it's waiting for the water to do its thing. And there's another point, and that's that the more concentrate your shampoo, the greater the likelihood of shampoo irritation.
Right.
Got that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because irritation depends on concentration of surfactant and contact time, right?
Right. Yeah, the water is not a barrier, but it's definitely a diluter, so that makes it less risky.
Yeah, it's not a barrier. Surfactant means surface acting agent. So the surfactant breaks the surface tension of the dirt and the grease and the stuff.
And then it attaches it to one end of the molecule and carries it away with the water.
Forming micelles, little groups of molecules surround pieces of dirt, minuscule pieces of dirt,
right.
You know, and it either solubilizes it, dissolves it into the water, or it just holds it in suspension.
Necessary.
But you need that water.
Gotta have it. I can't believe the stuff people come up with these days.
I know. She said it with such a decisiveness.
Such conviction. I like to use the phrase, I don't know. I find it's very helpful, especially when I don't know.
Yeah, well, it helps when you don't.
Yes.
But I prepare people to ask it as a question.
Yes.
Rather than to make a false assertion.
Yeah, I agree with that. Make it a question or throw it out there for topic of discussion, but don't make it a statement of fact.
Right on.
Right on. All right, moving on. Let's take one last quick break, and then we're going to come back with our At the Table segment, which is how to buy your first dryer. So, Barbara, what's new over at show season? I got an inkling. A little bird told me there might be something coming down the pipeline. What is it?
Yeah, I'm excited because show season now has hemp conditioner. So we've already reviewed and appreciated the hemp shampoo that they have. It's a non-sulfate shampoo, seems to be very mindfully formulated. And in the past, what we would do if we wanted to have additional conditioning, more serious conditioning, we would use their hypo conditioner. But now they have a conditioner that's been formulated to match up with the hemp shampoo made by the same formulator. So that's exciting. I'm looking forward to trying that. I just got wind of it. So we'll try some out and get back to you on that.
I love this about show season. They're always looking for ways to better the products. They're looking for new things they can infuse in there. They're so willing to work with our ideas, and they're just great people over there, aren't they?
They really are, and they really do listen to groomers, and they're always upgrading and improving and adding to. And if there's a certain fragrance that you just got to have in a shampoo, you need to tell them about it.
Yeah, that's cool because they are also environmentally thoughtful and they're trying to keep their local sources. And yeah, no, they're great people. And if you guys want to support a great company like Show Season that supports the Groom Pod, you can do so by going to their website, showseasongrooming.com. And if you haven't already, set up your wholesale account and do that on the phone. Their phone number is 678-382-0218, or email if you already have their setup. But really, they're at lots of local distributors. They're all over the place. I think that they're at Groomers Mart, but I know that they're at Cascade Grooming Supply. Let's see what's happening at the grooming table. So we were asked about buying a dryer, and I think that it's hard to answer that question without knowing what kind of grooming you plan on doing. There's like three basic kind of dryers, or maybe four really. There's like a high velocity dryer, there's the handheld dryers, there are stand dryers, and then there's cage dryers. In this particular case, we're kind of talking about HV dryers, but maybe a little handheld dryer also. With an HV dryer, there are only a handful of variables, really, right? Is it going to be one motor, or is it going to have two motors? That's one of the variables. What's another variable with the HV dryers?
The variable switch.
Yeah,
it either goes all the way on, like a flip switch. You're off or you're on, or you have a variable speed, so you can like turn it up and turn it down.
That must be nice. I've never had that. Do you have that?
Oh, yeah. I have that on everything. I have it on my stand dryer. I have it on 2 out of 3 dryers. And the K9 dryers now have variable speed.
They do, but I'll warn you, as a person who repairs them, or as a person who's linked to a person who repairs them, those stupid rheostats, those variable switches, they go out all the time, but they're easy to replace, but that's a little annoying. For me, I don't get that option because I'm nowhere near my dryer. It's behind the wall, so all I've got is off and on. But I have the two different switches.
And what is that cheap tool place? Tractor Supply?
Yeah, and Harbor Freight.
You can get a rheostat that you plug into that gives you a switch to turn things. Labe used to recommend that. You can use the Labe iVac clipper with a regular shop vac with one of those rheostats.
Yeah, they're handy, and you're right. They are available at Harbor Freight and also at Home Depot and Amazon. If you want to go and get them on Amazon, click through the banner at our website, roompod.com. So there's also the how much does it blow and how much does it suck. So the how much
and how loud is it?
Right. The how much does it blow, the CFMs, you don't always, if you're doing little dogs, you don't necessarily need to blow out a Newfoundland. So you might not need quite as many CFMs, but if you've got a variable switch, like Barbara says, where you can turn down the volume, then get as many CFMs as you can afford to get. I also recommend getting a 2-motor dryer if it's possible, because then you have a little bit more power than just a single motor dryer. The how much does it suck is how much power does it suck? Because you can get almost as much. Yeah, it is, especially if you're in a place like me where I'm only getting 20 amps into the trailer total. So I use a K9 2, which takes 17 amps when both motors are on. But there are dryers that blow almost as strong, but only take 15 amps, which then can go into household current much easier than trying to find a 20 amp. So that's an important thing to know in your decision making. And Barbara, you said it. How loud is that dang thing? Because they are loud.
They used to be really loud. My first was Mighty Wind. They came from California.
Name.
They were mighty, and they roared. Use ear protection, you know. Yeah, use ear protection if you got a loud thing. You know, I did a... a little in-house study using a meter. I measured the decibels of all of my dryers, and I made it into a chart, and it's on one of my blogs about dryer noise.
Right. That was really fun experiment. And if you don't
know. That was fun experiment. And now you have decibels reader on your phone.
Yeah. You can
so
just download
I had to go buy something, but now you have it right there. So it's kind of fun to measure, what the sound is coming out of the nozzle or right at the dog's head. It's good to kind of know. The one big criticism I have of the canine, too, is it's really loud.
It certainly is. And there's one other thing that is a good thing about the canine, too, but something that you probably want to look at, depending on how much money you have to spend on a HV dryer. And that is where it was built. Because now that my husband repairs them, there's quite a difference between what the foreign dryers look like inside and what the American-made dryers look like. You're paying a lot more for the canine too, but it's made here in America and it's very well wired and put together and it uses really decent parts and the parts are available. Whereas some of the dryers like the Schoenbos and things like that, they wire them so badly and the wires break and they use slightly substandard circuitry and it kind of is difficult to get some of that stuff repaired. So keep that in mind.
What is the flying pig?
It's a Chinese one. It's assembled here in the United States, so it's put together a little bit better.
Do you know what the X Power is?
Same story. Assembled here, but parts come from China.
I have an X Power that I really like.
It's very easy to get parts for the X-Power because they are local in California. So there's somebody there who has a warehouse full of parts and will happily send them out. So we find they're pretty easy to repair.
Yeah, I sacrifice a little of the top end, but it will go to its max with less noise than the K9 would go to that level.
And still repairable, very repairable.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's it. So on the handheld dryers, the thing you need to know about those is you don't want to use a human hair dryer for two reasons. They're a little bit hotter in their heating element, it seems like. But more importantly, they don't blow as much CFMs. They just don't blow the hair as hard. So try to get one that's kind of marketed towards pets if you're going to go with a handheld. I think that the most important dryer to have for your first dryer, though, is an HV dryer. What is your feeling on that?
I guess, Yeah, you can do things with an HV that you can't do with a stand dryer. But I come from a history where I learned to groom with a stand dryer. So, you know, we did a lot of toweling.
If you have room for a stand dryer, that's a way better choice than a handheld dryer. But a handheld dryer is cheap.
I would like a ceiling stand dryer.
Yeah. That'd be nice.
The footprint of the stand is a pain in the ass. And it's a tripping hazard, and so on and so forth.
Very true.
You know.
All right. Well, there you go. That's my advice on buying your first dryer, Barbara. Shall we call it a day?
Hey, it's been a great time.
I know. I get so excited when I talk to Michelle. I'm such a fan.
Me too.
Yep. All right. Well, thanks, you guys, for being here, and let's do it all again next week. All right, Barbara. Happy grooming, everybody.
All right. Take care of yourselves.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at the Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com or Barbara at barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.